Hello and welcome to Coachcast by England Football Learning, the coaching podcast that brings you insight from people across the game. Today we're chatting with Suey Smith, an FA Coach Development Officer for the North East, to discover her journey so far and to hear about how women can get into coaching. Well, welcome back, Suey. Great to have you back on Coachcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And it's good to be sat in the hot seat again.
Yeah, it was different last time. We had you with Vinny on last time, and I think you were recording from home, so it's nice to have you in person in with us today.
I feel professional today with this.
Just for anybody who either hasn't listened to that episode or just to remind them, can you tell us a little bit about your role?
Yeah, so I work as Regional Coach Development Officer, so in the North East, predominantly supporting girls and females to get into coaching and then support them on their coaching journey as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for that reminder there. But just before we kind of discover more about you and your experiences, Suey, as this is a coaching podcast, coaches could be on the way to training right now. And we kind of like to give them some good advice at the top of the show.
Yep. So this will be your arrival activity. So we're going to give you 30 seconds and we're going to ask you for as many top coaching tips as you can. Are you up for the challenge?
I am indeed, yes.
Okay. We'll set the timer up. And when the music begins, you can begin.
Okay, so instead of turning the car around and not going to coaching, my coaching tips would be, first off, smile, be engaging, ask open questions, make sure you plan, but don't be afraid to go off plan. Find out how the players are, so how the day at school has been, does that then affect the plan? And I think the biggest thing is, what are they going to learn at football that day? So give them a real topic to focus on and ask those open questions to check and challenge.
Fabulous.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect, Suey.
They've turned the car around, haven't they? They're not going anymore.
Didn't listen to those top tips. No, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. And that leads us nicely into the next section, which is all about you, Suey. And we always start this section by asking, I guess, what was your first experience of football like?
Football playing was literally at primary school with the boys at lunch break. I was the only girl playing, so didn't really have many experiences in a team because it wasn't many girls' team when I fell in love with football. First experience of coaching was because there was no professional jobs in playing. Not saying that I would have made a professional career out of playing, just putting it out there. But coaching was the nearest thing that I could to do to stay connected to the game that I love.
And when did your interest in coaching start and how did you get involved?
I was 14. I used to help at the Hull City football and community camps. So I played for the girls team at under 14s, but I was too old to be a player at the camps. So I outgrown the 5 to 12 year old age. So I would go and volunteer. So it was mainly just setting up the football pitches, refereeing, but then watching the coaches. And that's how I kind of wanted to stay connected to the game.
And what was that very first experience of coaching like? Do you want to kind of paint a picture for the listeners?
I think it was just like almost, it reminded me of that I was still a football player as well. So being connected to the game, it was, I had a football at my feet. I was helping children, albeit tie the shoelaces because I was working with the little ones. But to see their enjoyment and the smiles and build a connection with the players that you had in front of you, I think it was very, well, it is, it's very rewarding to have that given back to you and then obviously see them progress. And I think the nice thing was they'd go back to the parents and the parents would say, what have you learned today? Or did you have fun? And hopefully 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10, they'd say yes. So that gave me a little bit of kind of fulfillment for that as well.
And did you feel on your very first experience of coaching when you first went into it, was it nerve-wracking or was it, did you just take to it like a duck to water?
When I wasn't being watched, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But then I thought that people was watching me. So the other staff at the football community, they wasn't, they were just a part of a group, but yeah. I just felt like they was watching me. So I was scared to make a mistake because I didn't realise if I was doing it right. What was the right way? But as soon as I was left to my own devices, I kind of relaxed and enjoyed it. But then I realised that when they did watch me, it wasn't to catch me out. It was to catch me in something good.
Yeah.
What do you most enjoy about coaching overall?
I guess, what do I enjoy? Everything. If that's an answer to be accepted, everything. And the biggest thing is watching somebody progress. Whether that's in confidence, whether that's in playing, or whether that's in their team as a player and a a friend as well. So I love that side of it. I'm not going to lie and say that I don't mind winning. I love winning, but in the right way. So some of my best memories have been when my women's team have won the league. So when I was at Doncaster Bells and we was promoted into WSL1, fantastic. So winning helps you enjoy it. But at the same time, the journey along the way makes it really rewarding as well.
And you mentioned a couple of your other roles that you've had. Can you give us a brief insight into the journey and what that journey was like from when you first started out to where you are now?
Yeah, so from leaving school, I never played football at school. It wasn't allowed. But again, I wanted to stay connected to football and Hull City Football and Community, as it was then, it's now Tigers Trust. They had an apprenticeship. So they would take three apprentices in to help them with their primary school holiday camp coaching. So it was a full-time role with college embedded. So I was the first female to apply ever on the scheme. But because I played for the girls' team and I played for the women's team, I had that connection with them already. So that was how I got into it. And from there, I did what was the level one and the level two. So I did my coaching badges through the community trust, as it was, onto the UEFA-B. But as I reflect a little bit, it was quite quick that I was on these coaching badges because there was no CPD and it was kind of, look, we need to get you on this. We've got this funding. Here's level two. Here's UEFA-B. But no one really sat me down and said, are you ready for the next course? So it was great that I was going on to them. I met some fantastic coaches and friends from those courses. So that was like my first bit where I'd do 5 to 11-year-olds, primary schools, soccer schools in the holidays, birthday parties. So I did put Roy the Tiger on quite a few times as mascot. So I had to learn the trade as such as that. And when I first started, I was given like the younger age group, the 5, 6-year-olds. And I don't know whether it was a mentality, but as you progress, then it was like, oh, you can have the 14s this time. And oh, so it's kind of like, oh, I must be getting better because I've got the older age group at the football camp. So that was kind of my first. And I was there for around 4 to 5 years before transferring to the county FA, where I was community coach. So increasing girls playing football and disability support as well within schools. Again, coaching. So I did all that as a job, but I volunteered grassroots club. So I had a grassroots team, which was Hull City Girls, because it wasn't under an ETC. It was grassroots into the local teams there, into the local women's team. So Hull City Heseltown that I did as coaching. And then that was before joining the FA 15 years ago.
Yeah, wow. There's a lot of stuff in there. And just highlight again, congratulations, 15 years here at the FA as well. Taking in everything you've learned from all of those coaching experiences so far, what advice would you give to your younger self to prepare them for stepping into the world of coaching for the first time?
Gain confidence and experience. I think that's the biggest thing. I think everyone's in a rush to potentially get a job. But when I started, there was no real jobs within football. It was all voluntary grassroots and I loved it. So that got me the experience to then get the jobs. And I think that's the biggest thing is become confident and gain as much experience as you can on the pitch.
And kind of flipping that, what has been the best piece of advice that you've ever received?
Watch other coaches. Spend time watching coaches because some of their values will align with yourself, but also you get ideas of sessions. But you also build your network. So I think that's really important. By me going to watch a coach, build a network, a relationship with that coach, I'd be introduced to another coach and then my network become bigger and greater as well. So I think that would be the best advice that I was given is go spend some time watching a coach and making connections.
And what would you say are the key attributes that it would take for someone to be a transformational coach?
Good listening skills. I think that's really important. I think listening to understand, but listening to hold the conversation as well. I think we're in a generation of we just want to ask questions but not listen. And when we do listen, we've got our own agenda and we're not really listening. So I think to be transformational, really home in on your listening skills, but be there in the moment while you're listening. So don't be thinking about anything else. Be in the moment, listen and ask open questions to help build that as well.
Yeah, really good skill to have there for anybody listening, for absolutely good skill to develop. Now, Sui, you wanted to chat to us today to help women get into coaching and kind of open up the opportunities to our listeners. So firstly, what would you say to someone who's maybe a little bit apprehensive about starting their coaching journey?
It's the best thing you'll ever do because of the friends that you make, the conversations you have on the way, and it's not as scary as what you think it is.
A lot of people's first kind of journey into coaching is potentially if they are a parent and they're going to coach their child's team, What advice could you give them? They might not have thought about going into coaching beforehand, but maybe it's been thrust upon them. What advice would you give them to help them?
Some days it's going to be really tough, but on the majority of the days, it's going to be really rewarding. You cannot please everybody, and don't be too hard on your own child, because that's what the parent normally that runs a team, they bring off their child the first, because they don't want any conflict with other parents. So I think the biggest thing is understand that it's going to be up and down, but predominantly ups, but get the parents on board as well. Explain that you're a volunteer, you're new to this, it's not your job, but you want to do the best you can for the children that you've got. So just be open and honest and get the parents to buy in and support you as well. But you'll enjoy it, you'll love every minute. End of the season, you get some lovely presents. but keep the parents close to you as well, because they've become good friends as well.
And say someone hasn't really got much of a background in football, do you think it's really important that they do, that they should have a background in football already? Or
no, and I think this is the biggest barrier in terms of what we face. I never had the opportunity to play football at school. It was hockey, it was netball, it was tennis. So in terms of football lessons, we never had any. I found the love of football from finishing school and going to the field. And I would assume that many females may have that same experience, because boys would play football and rugby and girls would do netball and hockey. And so what you'd find is a lot of male coaches would draw upon their experience from being at school to go, I can coach, because I remember when my PE teacher did this football session. So they already have that experience that they can draw off, whereas female coaches, because they didn't do it at school, they don't have that experience to draw off. So they often think, well, I can't coach because I never played football at school. But what they can do is they have excellent personal skills, organisational skills, transferable skills that actually the hockey lessons that they did at school, they're the same. And the skills that they have as a person is still the skills of a coach. So to be a coach or a good coach, can you smile? Yes. Well, if you can smile, you can be a coach. And that's one of the first skills is, do you have empathy? Are you warming? Because that's another skill of a coach, but it's a skill of a human being as well. So I think that's the biggest barrier, is the skill that they don't have the experience of drawing upon from school days to say, well, I've never done football. But okay, we can support you in the missing ingredient of the football, but the skills that you have, you use them in your job, use them to be a parent, use them to look after your dog, your cats. And so everyone's got the skills of a coach. We've just got to draw it out, and you've got to believe that you have those.
Yeah, really important message there that, you know, everybody's got skills that can be transferable into coaching, and just don't let that be a barrier to providing a wonderful experience for players. You can make an impact.
Definitely. And I think that's the biggest thing is you find, especially a lot of females, they don't have football boots. And we often don't think of that as well. It's second nature to potentially myself, because I've been brought up in football. I've got 3 or 4 pairs of football boots in my car, in my house. So, but for them, it's also daunting to go to a sports shop and go, I need to buy some football boots because I'm about to be a coach, but I don't know what I need to have. We need to help them with those barriers as well, because that's another barrier that they might not feel comfortable going to a sports shop to buy football boots because they've never done it before. So that's another barrier. So if we can help them be visible and get them to believe in themselves, we're going to have some fantastic coaches of the future.
And so in your role, how do you empower women and encourage them to give coaching a try?
I guess I'm quite fortunate of that visibility, so they can hopefully relate to the fact that I'm a female in football. But not just that, I like to share my experience. So the experience that I've just alluded to, that I didn't play football in school because we weren't allowed to, straight away it gets a buy-in from some of the female coaches to go, that was the same experience that I had. So they can sympathise and understand. So I'd kind of try and be vulnerable first to let them in and to share my journey, and then to empower them, just get them to understand the skills of a coach and get them to believe that they've got those skills as well. So we do quite a few workshops with them when we get them through the door. I think the hardest thing is getting them through the door to get them into the coaching workshop. So hopefully this podcast might reach to someone who's got an interest in coaching, and they can realise that actually this might be an empowering podcast for them to get some football boots and get into coaching.
I guess as well, it might be if you're coaching already and you know of someone, or there's a parent who seems quite interested, perhaps you could use some of those skills to kind of help them.
Definitely. And I think that's the biggest thing is we all have our part to play. You don't have to wear the three lions. You might be a parent who sees a skill of a coach in another parent and encourages them to step over the sideline.
So kind of after hearing all of that, if somebody now is encouraged from what you've just said to really give coaching a go, what would you say is the first step that they can take to start their journey?
As a female coach, the first step might be ask. So they might have someone that they know that plays football, and if they'd like to come and have a go at volunteering at their local club, so ask a friend who they may know is already involved in football, can I come along? Fill in that. You've got the county FA. So the county FA is local to where you live. So for example, in the northeast, we have Northumberland, Durham, and many more counties across the country that they can call upon. But again, if you've not been involved in football, you might not know what a county FA is. So I say first is ask a friend, do you play football? Can I come along and come and watch your club and see how it works? Fill in that, the county FA. If someone's listening to this podcast and they know that they might be interested or someone might be interested, get them to listen to this and we can help them. And then obviously the use of social media is so powerful that if they type something like England Football Learning, coach development, hashtag things, the grassroots coaching conference that we had, you'll start to build networks to reach out to other female coaches that potentially are on the journey, but it starts with a little DM into them to ask, I'm interested in coaching, can you help me?
And if people go and do that, so then they go and they ask a friend and maybe they start getting involved, but maybe, again, alluding to what we talked about earlier, that they might not necessarily have the football knowledge, what can they do to maybe start learning a little bit about that?
Yeah, I do believe that I'm on quite a few videos, England Football Learning as well, so just type in Sue Smith and you'll find some videos. But we do have some really good support networks out there in each county FA. So each county FA in conjunction with their regional coach development officer. So for me, I'm in the northeast, but we have another 7 that are dotted around that support county FAs and girls and women football coaches. So the next little step would be, can you find a female coach development group and be part of that? If you want more of a formal qualification, we've got the Playmaker into the I2CF, so into coaching football, that they could hopefully get a fully funded place as well and get that formal qualification. But I think, again, if they want to make that step, make the network as big as they can, connect with other female coaches. Again, use social media as a great platform to make those links and connections, and then try to understand the FA landscape of Sue Smith in the northeast. She works at East Riding County FA. I know East Riding County FA. I need to try and connect the dots now as well. So I think that's really important. We've got lots of support. I think it's their confidence to then connect the dots to then reach out as well.
You've mentioned our entry level course there. Now, it's not the case that coaches just do that and that they're on and that they're going to be on their own, is it? You know, we are always here to help them on their learning journey. So can you highlight maybe some of the ways that they can access our resources and support moving forward?
Yeah, so face to face, you've got your female coach development groups within county FAs, and you've also got the community champions and the mentors. So community champions are there to recruit more females into coaching, and they do a fantastic resource called Stepping Over the Sidelines. So again, it's face to face. So those are the face to face support mechanisms that we can help them with. In terms of online, because they might not have that confidence yet to become face to face, we've got the England Football Learning, we've got the YouTube channel, we've got obviously the football community. But again, I think the biggest barrier sometimes is, let's get you a fan number. If you're a brand new coach, to access quite a lot of these things, they need to have a fan number. So register your email, create your own fan number, be part of that England Football Learning network with your fan number, and then look at those resources as well. And again, you've got CoachCast, you've got the things on X as it is now, so the monthly updates, the videos to help you as well. But I think the biggest thing is, if you're not sure, let's create a fan number and then let's go from there.
Yeah, I guess once they've got that, they've got access to all sorts of information and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So you did mention stepping over the sidelines there. We've kind of spoken about that a little bit in other episodes, but can you just explain to us, for anybody who hasn't heard about it, what it is and how to get involved?
So it's a little brainchild of our team, really, in terms of trying to get more females to step over the sideline. How we go about recruiting it is in the hands of the community champions. So the community champions that we are self-employed. So each county have a community champion who will go and try and recruit female coaches. So one of the ways that they do it is using the Stepping Over the Sidelines. So it's almost like a two-part course, which is free. The first one is around the community champion will potentially meet with a club, because a club may have contacted the community champion and say, we need some more coaches, and actually we'd love some more female coaches because we've got a massive amount of growing girls teams. So what the community champion tend to do is speak to the parents on the sideline, create that relationship, that trust, and see if they're interested in it, and try and unearth some of the skills that represent a coach as well. So give them confidence to attend the Stepping Over the Sideline. So Stepping Over the Sideline part one is a theory. So it's in the classroom. We champion female role models. So we think about, who is your female role model? Now link it into the game. And then again, we go through around coaching skills and attributes of a coach, and get them to realise that they have those attributes already. And then obviously step two of Stepping Over Sidelines, we've now called it Stepping Onto the Pitch or Stepping Over the Sidelines, is where community champion or us as coach development officers will give them some coaching skills, some ideas, and to help them put on a few sessions and get them to gain confidence in a safe environment before they go back on the pitch. Then what they may do then is go back onto the pitch and have the community champion at their side, just giving them reassurance and supporting them as well. So when they do decide to go onto the pitch, they've got the community champion there who will just help them, guide them, and just be that network as well to reassure them that, yeah, actually, yeah, you're doing a great job and all the girls or all the boys are smiling. That means you're a brilliant coach. Straight away, you've got them smiling.
Yeah, brilliant. That sounds like a really good opportunity for anybody who is not particularly feeling fully confident or just doesn't quite know how to find a way in.
Do you have any advice to help people find a club to help them get coaching?
Yeah, again, I think it goes back to that last question of ask. So ask your friends if they play in a club. Again, depending on where you live, you might know that your village has got one local grassroots club, and trying to find out what time they go. But certainly ask a friend or someone that you might know in football. So reach out first off. Find a club that suits you as well. So I think it's really important that sometimes clubs have different philosophies, they have different values, and they have to align with your own personal values and sometimes your own personal life as well. So again, family always comes first. So if the training night is on a Tuesday and that's the only night that you have with your children, then maybe that club isn't for you. So find the right club, find out what fits for you and works for you, and then think about your values and behaviours which align to the club. And then get involved with that club. So whether it's, again, setting the stall out, say I can volunteer on a midweek, but I can't do a game on a weekend, and then just immerse yourself into coaching. Again, build your network, so find out who the other coaches are of the club. And most clubs have like a WhatsApp group with all the coaches in. So as soon as you've shown an interest, that the chairman or the chairperson, whoever it is who runs a club, I'm sure they'll put you into a WhatsApp group, introduce you, and then obviously the fun starts then, and the learning goes from there as well.
And to anyone who has found a club that matches their values, and maybe they're listening to this and they're going to go to training straight after, what advice or top tips do you have for them to put on that very first training session?
Something that lets you breathe. I think we tend to overcomplicate coaching because, again, I remember going back to the conversation where when there was eyes on me, I felt under pressure. So do something that you're familiar with. So my best bet, if that was your very first coaching session or your football session with your club, put them in a little 2v2 game. They love to play football. It gives you opportunity to breathe, maybe build connections with the parents that have brought the players, but also it just helps you go, right, okay, who have I got in front of me? Are they all playing football, 2v2 games? So just keep it simple. Don't try and impress anybody, because ultimately you won't enjoy your first session. Let them play football, breathe, and then just slowly start to build your confidence from there and the trust of the players.
It's really good advice. So we know that some listeners may know someone who wants to start coaching, or they know someone who they think would be a positive impact as a coach. We've kind of discussed this a little bit before. How can they support or encourage them to get involved?
Just keep building the relationship of trust, first of all. Potentially, if you are the coach of the team, but you recognise that someone on the sideline has got great skills to be a coach or to be that support mechanism for yourself and your assistant coach, encourage them. I think that's the biggest thing, is encourage them. And it might be that you might have to give up some of your time to take them to the step and over the sideline, so they've got that little bit of comfort and reassurance as well. So if you know someone that you feel would make a good coach, or they've shown an interest, get them to come and support you, but give them something more than just picking up the cones or getting the bibs. Get them involved in asking them questions. What would you do next to make it easier? What would you do next to make it harder? So asking them those open questions, because they're more than just picking up the cones just because of your assistant. And then start to share, would you be interested in coaching? What do you feel like I could help you with? And then take it from there.
And following on from that, do you have any advice to help coaches who might be listening to become allies for women?
Yeah, I think, again, it's really important, and especially with the success of Serena that we have, the visibility is unreal. So I think it's really important that as we grow the game of football, we grow the game for all. So I think we all have a really big part to play to have coaches who are male, female, from different backgrounds. So it's religion, race, that actually everyone has a part to play. So everyone also has to be an ally for each group. And I think if we can just give them that confidence and support them, I think that's the biggest thing of going, we need to get more coaches in the game. So we all have our part to play to recruit the next Sue Smith, the next grassroots coach, and go from there.
And so jumping forward, I guess, if someone's thinking about they want to take this further and they want to be the next Serena, what kind of things would they need to think about?
How to win the World Cup and the Euros again and get into the final. But it starts with a little step of that confidence that we spoke earlier, and that belief that actually they can go and achieve great things. I think as well, then it's the experience. So I think, again, time on the grass, getting to understand different age groups. I think that's really important. So the different age groups and what they bring to your coaching skills. And then look at potentially then adult games, so men and women games, and spending some time in there. So really getting a holistic view of the stages of development and having experience of coaching in all those development stages. And then again, looking at, can I spend time with other coaches? What's going to suit me? Is it working with boys? Is it working with girls? Is it working in the adult football stage as well? So you've got to really think about what's your niche? Where do you like to spend your time, and who do you relate to more? Is it the foundation phase because you're like a big kid and you can relate them to them really well? And I think if you can find your niche, then really start to develop that, but don't neglect the other age groups. So if it is the foundation phase that you think, I love that, continue look at the youth phase and the adult phase and understand what their journey of where they're going to go, for example, but then become an expert as much as you can in that. So whether it's listening to how a child develops, which hasn't anything to do with the football coaching side, but the child development side. So start to then think about, how can you be an expert with child development, how they learn, potentially some teaching styles, and then the football bit as well. So again, continue football journey, but then back it up with different ways of how people and players learn. And then again, look at then what's your end point. So if it is Serena, then potentially you have to be working the women's game. You will have to, but by then you can cross over anyway, so it's fine. But then put yourself into pressured environments. So I think, again, recently I've just listened to Serena's podcast, actually with the High Performance, and she mentioned around putting herself into pressured environments to make her work and make her think and make her make mistakes so that she can learn from that. So I think sometimes you have to step out your comfort zone to be the best you can as well.
Really good advice there. Now, Sue, before we kind of move on to the next little section of the show, looking back at everything we've discussed, can you summarise maybe the key top tips that you would like coaches to take away from this episode?
Believe in yourself, first and foremost. Show confidence. And confidence can be a scary thing because sometimes you deem that you're too confident, but actually that confidence can break down barriers. And then another key skill potentially would be give time to yourself to develop yourself as a coach and learn as much as you can.
Brilliant, perfect.
Just as a way of kind of giving coaches something to try, we're going to ask you if you've got a coaching challenge to set the listeners. So something based on what we've been talking about that they can potentially go away and have a go at.
Recruit someone from the sidelines. So build a relationship with a parent or a helper, get them to step over the sideline and help them potentially become the next you.
Perfect. And I guess, like we always say, if you have a go at this, let us know what you did, how it went, what the outcome was. So, yeah, that'd be really good.
Yeah, look forward to seeing how that went on and everybody getting in touch with us on the community to let us know that. Right, well, Sue, we are coming up to the end of the show now, but that does mean it is time for our Swift Session feature.
Yep, so you have done, well, I think on the episode that you were last on, Vinny did this one, so this gives you an opportunity to try it yourself. So this is a challenge that's 30 seconds again, but we're going to ask you to explain to us a session idea in those 30 seconds. Are you up for giving it a go?
I am. Got my favourite one ready.
Okay.
Love it.
I'm looking forward to it. So we'll set the timer up and when the music starts, you can begin.
Okay, so it's called Body Parts. So everyone has a football, build a square, dribbling around. The coach or the volunteer shouts the body part and the player has to put that part of the body on the ball. So head, they stop, they put the head on the ball. Stomach, like Superman. Elbows, nose, and the kids, even adults, love it, laugh, and you can have a winner who stays into the end.
Perfect.
Look at that. I don't even get to use my whistle.
Oh, sorry.
People are getting
listen to this and they're getting so good at it. I'm
Maybe
missing out
my
whistle.
Cut it down to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was saying to Folly, because Folly was like, watch your game. I was like, body parts. She's like, I have not played that in years. I was like, we forget about those things, but kids are like head, I'm like ear, and they're like on the ground, but like adults love it. And I remember when I used to do the soccer camps at Hull, and after every lunch, that'd be, can we play body parts? Yes. So it'd be like, you're out. It's a bit like Simon Says, isn't
it? Yeah.
Sounds very fun.
Yeah, brilliant. And especially a good arrival activity as well.
You can get a player to do it, or again, just a parent. All they have to do is shout a body part.
Yeah.
Freeze you up.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you for that idea. That's really good. And thank you very much for your time today, Sue. That we've had a really good chat and you've provided so much good advice and tactics that hopefully will encourage people to give coaching a go or encourage listeners to find someone to help them step over the sidelines as well. So thank you very much for your time. Hopefully you've enjoyed coming back for a second visit on CoachCast.
Now, hopefully if I come back a third time, I'll get a football. And then I've got a hat trick. There we go.
We'll have to start thinking about that, to be fair. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Right, well, that was a nice chat with Sue today, Louise. What would you say is the main thing that you've taken away from that discussion?
I think there was something quite early on when we were talking about just those little things that can help empower someone to kind of take those steps. So if you're a coach and there's someone that you think might help, you could help to get into the game. Yeah, just think about those little things that might be stopping them, even if it's like football boots or things like that. So put yourself in their shoes a little bit.
Yeah, really important. That really is important. For me, it is just don't be afraid and give it a go. But also that you're not on your own. You know, you can go and talk to other coaches and observe other coaches to learn. But also for ourselves here with this podcast, but with other resources, we are here to help. You know, so check out our website and we've got plenty of resources, articles, sessions and things there to help you with coaching and with training sessions. So please do check that out. You're not on your own. We're here to help. Right, well, that's all we have time for today, but don't forget to check out the episode description for the transcription of this episode and for all the links to our platforms. There you'll be able to click through to the England football community. This is where you can post your coaching questions for us to discuss on the podcast, or just simply to connect with loads of wonderful coaches.
Yep, we'd love to help you out with your coaching questions, so please do check it out. We'll be back soon with another episode of CoachCast, so if you haven't already, hit subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. From all of us at England Football Learning, thanks for listening.